loves it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Fi Suite Podcast, partner with RaiderRamble.com. Head on over to RaiderRamble.com for all your Raider needs. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Chiefs game, Derek Carr's future with the team, previewing the Titans next week, and of course, giving you guys some picks without thought. That's going to be a tongue twister for me. But Jose, first things first, how are we doing? I can't even talk, dude. The Chiefs beat the talking out of me.
I think they beat the talking out of everyone who's affiliated with the Raiders, and rightfully so. There's just nothing to say, nothing positive to hold on at all. They just went in there and just got their cheeks taken straight up.
Well, I saw from Jimmy Durkin, he had the quote last week from Derek Carr where he said, if we don't show up, the Chiefs are going to roll us by 50. And I mean, it was 31, but I think at some point I run out of fingers and toes to keep count. So
it felt like 50. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. I mean, no one showed up. It was just an outright disaster. And like I said, like I tweeted, the guaranteed lock in life is that Derek Carr will never win a game at Arrowhead Stadium. It's just, it's pretty much like the number one guarantee, not just in football, but just in life. He just doesn't show up there, man. It's the cold, of course. That definitely plays a factor, but just when it's time to answer, the guy just like shirks away. He shies away from the call. He doesn't want to answer the layup line. He's just rolling with the ball and just smoking. He's smoking the layup. And it's just repeated what we've seen every single time he's there. And not to say that he's a reason why that I didn't believe in this team, but he's definitely, not performing up to the duty, up to the moments. Like, hey, this is a big game. We need you to show up against KC. This is one of the reasons why I never believed in this team to be playoff contenders when you last asked me after Cincinnati. Yeah. And it's just, you see two terrible losses to the Jets. I mean, that one is a bit understandable, East Coast game, and once again cold weather, all that such and such. But then you do the same thing to Kansas City, and now we're back to square one. You're at 500, 6-6. You look at who else is around in the playoff picture with Tennessee, Pittsburgh, this continuing to reel off wins, and it's just that this team is not going to the playoffs. I mean, they are what their record is. They're like an average team, they're not terrible, but like I said, they've never been great. They're not that good. If you get them out of their realm of comfortability, which is if you able to take away the Josh Jacobs factor, which the defense does for the last two straight games, then it's pretty much this team has nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the frustrating thing is we said the same thing kind of after Green Bay, where I know some people are going to point to the receiving core, but it's like at some point we need this guy to come over the hump and be better and overcome it. And again, he fell short, and today was probably even worse than Green Bay. I mean, it's at some point you're going to have to win in Kansas City. You're going to have to win in cold weather. I'm not a big QB win loss stat guy, but it's not like the rest of his stat line is looking any good either. I mean, I know he got some inflated, but at one point, I think he was 6-for-10 with two interceptions and less than 100 yards. So 20% of his passes were to the other team. We sat there after Green Bay and we said, Derek, we've got to learn from the Cowboys incident with fumbling out of the back of the end zone. Well, I'm pretty damn sure the same play that Bates from Cincy picked off on Derek, what was it, 3 weeks ago now? I'm pretty sure that was the same one that the Chiefs picked and took back to the house. Like, yep. It's just,
I mean, Derek Carr is who he is, man. At this point, it's like when we're saying, oh, at some point he's going to have to, like, no, I think there is not some point. I think this is it. We know who he is. He's not going to get much better. And if anything, he's already peaked. I mean, sure, there's also the question, does he have enough talent around him in terms of a receiver? No. Not necessarily, because you could see totally just from the replays that they showed that they weren't creating separation. So it's not 100% on him, but even when, there is times there, it's like he's not making the opportunities. He's not seizing the opportunity when it's there in general. I mean, Josh Jacobs, I think one play was like jumping up and down, like, yeah. Hey, dump it off to me. And it's like, hey, Carr, the one time you don't want to check it down, there's plenty of examples, and he just tends to stare down his receivers at times, which is more times than not what most quarterbacks actually do, much to contrary belief. But it's just with this game is like high stakes. You know, it's true. People wanted to get offended about what Jack Del Rio said about him not performing in cold weather, but it's a fact, man. It's just the reality of the situation. You get this guy in cold weather.
Yeah.
He just starts, like I said, he shirks away from duty. He's not there to answer the call. And then he is who he is. We know who he is. He's not going to get much better. I mean, he'll make the plays here and there, but consistency is it's not a factor. This is who he is. I mean, they could be a lot worse off, but it's come to a point where you really have to start looking and weighing your options for the future at this point with all the draft capital you have. And because how much patience are you going to have? I mean, of course, you could have Gruden called up better plays. Absolutely. Could the receivers gotten more open? Absolutely as well. I mean,
yeah,
you know, the AB aspect always circles back, but I feel like at this point, not this cat, you know, it's been well over, like they should have been well past him and adjusted and figured out how to do it. And that's why they did those trades for like Zay Jones and stuff, tried to give him some depth. And, you know, Hunter Renfrow was gone, so options are limited. Darren Waller is going to draw most of the coverage, and Tyrell Williams, man, he's just, not it's like at me. This point, it's like you need to find a number one receiver, because you got to start wondering, like, what are some clauses, when is this guarantee starts getting used up so he doesn't affect the cap to get out of his situation? But yeah, if you're just relying on a running game like that, it's just, especially when your defense, if you're going to be relying on a running game like that, you have to have a good defense, and the Raiders don't. They're bottom five, if not the worst. You know, sacks are still an issue. Turnovers are still an issue. Penalties have been generational issue. It just never shakes it. I mean, it's just too much to overcome for them. Once again, why I don't believe they're playoff contenders. Defense is atrocious. It's just, you know, when it's time for them to answer the call, they're not there to answer the phone.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you bring up the receiving core and whatnot, and I absolutely agree that the receiving core, you know, there's a lot to be desired, and especially without Renfrow, who seems like he's the only guy that can get open, and today was kind of evidence of that. But at the end of the day, this is a perpetual problem for Derek, just like you said. And it's like, it's not an isolated issue. When we had 2,000-yard receivers in Cooper and Crabtree, he still struggled in cold weather. He still struggled against Kansas City. And I mean, you know, I know you hinted at it a little bit, but with the draft capital that the Raiders have, with the needs at receiver, what do you make of Derek Carr's future?
I mean, you're definitely going to have to. It'd be negligent not to look and consider your options. Is Derek the future? I mean, with this contract, you know, I think after this season, I'm pretty sure they can cut their losses. I mean, not saying that they would. Who's to say? You know, it's December. You know, the college football regular season is essentially already over.
Yeah.
We just saw a great game on Saturday with from Alabama, the one wide receiver, I forget his name, but he was just taking off. I mean, we know about CeeDee Lamb. There's a bunch of, I mean, it's like, at this case, like, oh, maybe you throw in and give him another weapon, because he has proven that if you give him some weapons, he's there, because, you know, they already have two of the three things that make him optimal, you know, a good pass protection and a good running game. But now at this point, the fact that you need to have all three facets of the offense solid just shows how much of a liability Carr kind of is, you know. And then even if you do have those three things, he still can't show up in high pressure moments, especially when it's cold weather involved or on the road. And it's just, you know, he is who he is. And it's just, if you're going to have to be one of those teams that have to build so much around there, then you're pretty much just better off just investing and trying to get a good quarterback, so that way you can at least alleviate some of the holes that are in the other areas of the football team.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I do kind of want to see how the rest of the season plays out. You know, I think I pointed it out that he does have three games in cold weather coming up, or warm weather coming up. So I would like to see how the season plays out. You know, Raiders, I know it's feels like a long shot at this point, but if they do win out, maybe they got a shot, but obviously Derek's got to play better. But the problem is the Raiders are in that spot where you're looking at, you know, probably 7-9, 8-8 with your own record, maybe 9-7. So a late teens pick. Bears, they're 6-6 right now. Maybe could win a couple more games, maybe one or two on their schedule. You know, that's going to be a teens pick or so.
Yeah.
those good quarterbacks, the Joe Burrows, are not going to be around. I mean, Tua might be around because of his injury, but then again, you're taking a big risk on a guy that's coming off a pretty big injury. And I mean, I think that's going to be the saving grace for Carr, especially with how deep this receiver class is and how they can probably snag a decent receiver, a CeeDee Lamb, a good wide receiver with that Bears pick, you know, versus, you know, maybe reaching for a quarterback or a guy that's like Dwayne Haskins quality at this point. But I mean, as far as going forward, like, Derek's not helping himself out right now.
Nope.
And I would not be surprised if at the end of the year, cut him and then take that $7.5 million cap hit.
And yeah, as much as like we already know where he is as a player, because he's not getting any more better. I mean, it is a fact that also just because, well, let me just drop back. It's kind of sad when you're talking. It's like, damn, we really have to like look on the schedule and be like, damn, how many more cold weather games are there that we have to do that? I mean, how many players do we actually have to do that for anyone in the league? So the fact that we have to do it with him is very sad. But still, I mean, the fact remains, the reality is the wide receiver core is still not that great. I mean, they're decent and they're better than last season. So that's a good sign. They're definitely way better than last season. I mean, Tyrell Williams is just like, he just never was a true number one. I know he had that one nice season with LA when they were in San Diego Chargers at the time. And he had, and Keenan Allen was out for the year and he stepped up. But even then, he wasn't like, you know, a monstrous threat. He's a true number two, and they don't have, and if you're going to have true number two, you're going to have overall talent. So that's for sure what they need to focus on is getting there. And for sure, they had like another better option receiver, then the results with Carr would be much better. But how much, you know, how significantly would they be? And I'm not at all advocating if they had another good solid receiver that they would have won today's game and maybe even help them push for a playoffs. But I mean, it's just what it is, man. What they have to look for the future, and just while these college playoffs are going to play out, see how everyone finishes and stacks up, because there's a lot of horrible teams out there in the top 10 that probably will be looking at quarterbacks, probably won't. I mean, who knows? It's just that at that point, it's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I think we'll get a much clearer picture when we're like getting closer to that. But right now, it's like, you know, we know who this guy is. You know, he's going to have good games, he's going to have bad games. But the games you know for sure he's never going to show up in are high pressure games, especially in cold weather, especially in Kansas City.
Yeah. I mean, I'll wrap it up with this. The fact that the thing that seems to be saving Derek right now, or part of what's saving Derek right now, is that there are so many other needs on the team that they can't afford to get rid of draft capital to go and move up and get this quarterback. That's not exactly franchise quarterback material.
Mm-hmm. That's like, actually a point right there.
I mean, not to rub salt in any wounds, but if you're the Bears, you know, they have the majority of their foundation set. So they can kind of go all in on some quarterback this year. Whereas the Raiders, you know, might be stuck with Derek, who appears to be nothing more than average at this point.
They're not a quarterback away. And that was a great X point you put there. It's like, they're going to draft a quarterback, and they're, I mean, how much better they're going to get. And we're still going to have to be patient for this guy to develop. And we're back to square one. I mean, that's not to say that they shouldn't draft one. By any means, if you see someone you like there, you grab them at whatever case there is. But yeah, it's a perfect point that, I mean, that's why, like, when Twitter's fighting and they want to blame it on Carr and he's not the future, but it's like, yeah, as horrible as he played, and he is a good reason, a major factor why they lost, he wasn't the only factor. I mean, the defense is still what it is. I mean, Paul Gunther, man, what are you doing out there? I mean, these players, Tahir Whitehead, get him off my TV screen, man. This guy, what does he do? Honestly, man, I've asked it on Twitter. I'm pretty sure I said it on this podcast. What does Tahir Whitehead do that's good? I'm still looking for it. We signed him last season, and I read up that he's a solid run defender, and even he doesn't do that well. What does he do? I don't understand it. And that's kind of funny that Chris said, "Oh, what he does do well is do ticket giveaways," which I thought was hilarious. And I was like, "Damn, that's pretty sad." So I mean, as much as we want to point to the quarterback, no, duh, because it's. That's the biggest position that has the most impact in the game, so it's only natural to look there. And Carr is what he is, and he definitely failed in this game, the last two games. But, yeah, if it was the defense was playing solid and mixing in with the solid pass protection in the running game, then it's like, all right, now you're the glaring issue, Carr. I wouldn't say Derek's necessarily the glaring issue. He is an issue, but Yeah, it's still, like I said, the fact that I have to feel like this is normal, the defense is horrendous, which is why I blamed Carr for that loss against Green Bay. It's like, we know they're going to give up these points. Those 42 points that they gave up, we know that. That's why it was on Derek, because he couldn't afford those mistakes. It rides on you. The bread and butter of this team is the offense, so we should give some blame to John Gruden as well for last week and this week. Why couldn't you figure out the right adaptability, the right place to pull out of your pocket and just throw it out there? So as much as Carr is playing bad and his future still is looking very dusty, it's not like Gruden and everyone else is, you know, living up to even average standards. So that's the final point right there. It's like, as bad as Carr is, it's just, at least it's not the situation where it's, damn, we're a quarterback away. Exactly like you said, the Bears, they have a great foundation set, yet because they have Trubisky, you can't even throw a simple out route pass. They're gonna miss the playoffs, so it's there could be a lot worse situation. I mean, it feels like it's bad right now because they just got pushed into the corner and got put there for the whole freaking last 2 weeks. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. Derek's not the only one to blame, but he is the definitely not the reason for the turnaround, or not providing a whole lot of hope, I should say. All right, let's move on to the Titans. You know, one of probably the hottest teams in the NFL right now. I think they've won, what, like 3 or 4 in a row? They're just beat Indianapolis to, you know, obviously gain some ground on the wild card, as well as in the division, have a hell of a run game, a pretty damn good defense, and I think they're like 5-1 with Tannehill starting. How do the Raiders pull it off, Jose?
Pray, which I'm pretty sure Pastor Carr will be able to lead. Since apparently I read something funny. I was like, that's what he really wants to do. Yeah. I thought that was kind of funny, but no, in all seriousness, I mean, you have an advantage. You're coming back home, so the Titans are going to have to travel a little bit, but that's not really going to bother them too much because defense typically does travel. A running game does travel. Derrick Henry has been
he's a beast.
Surging. That guy has just been like a walking semi-truck pretty much, and he's not fast by any measure. Derrick Henry, there's no secret. You know what he's gonna do. He's gonna do one cut and try to like just bulldoze his way. He uses his great vision to get in there. It's like Josh Jacobs. Jacobs is like faster and a little more elusive.
Yeah.
So at least with them, you know, like, hey, this is straight up. They're not gonna do anything trickery. So just, you know what's upcoming. So don't please do not mess this up. As for Tannehill, I mean, he's not the greatest of passers, but he is solid. He's getting it done, and I'd even have, he's getting it more so done. The fact that, you know, we were just talking about, oh, with the Bears, you know, quarterback away. I mean, look, the Titans recognize, hey, Mariota wasn't getting it done. Tannehill was a better prototypical passer. Let's put him in there. And now that they have someone who can actually help them get the situational plays and sustain drives, the wins are coming in because that defense has always been there ever since Mike Vrabel stepped in. So that defense is stout. They have a great running game, and they have a quarterback and make plays. That's what the Raiders wish they were, a quarterback that can make plays when needed to answer the call, solid running game, solid defense. So that kind of shows what the standard is. So, I mean, what they got to do is it's because at this point, you know, it's going to be week 14 now. We already know what this team is. They're not going to get much better. How much more adjustments are they going to make? I mean, there's not really much they can do, I feel. And it's just, you know, it's going to be on the offense and the running game. They're going to have to, you know, win the time of possession. That's the best way they're going to do it, is just run. And Derek Carr is just going to have to make the plays when needed to be, when the opportunity arises. And just don't turn over the ball. Please do not turn over the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that does kind of work in the Raiders' favor for this game is probably the better part of this defense might be the run defense. Although the 3 previous week would suggest otherwise. So, I mean, there is that. You know, I do think they potentially can stop the run against them. I mean, who knows at this point when you have so many young players, who's going to show up. And if they can stop a run, they'll have a shot. But like you said, Derek's got to be able to make a couple plays, and they've got to kind of grind this one out. It should be a ground and pound game. One that if the Raiders defense can't get a couple stops, it'll be another blowout like we just saw, because the Titans defense is good enough to shut down the Raiders offense for sure.
That's no doubt about it. And I mean, like, their corners are they just play great football. Vrabel has them set up in a perfect position, and they're just making the plays, and they, It's just that's I don't think they're going to win that game. It's going to be tough. You know, you're downhill on two games. I mean, like I said, the bright side is you get to come home, get to relax a little bit and try to play your game more so. But that's going to be rough. And then after that, I think they play. Oh, it's the final home game against Jacksonville.
Yep, Jacksonville.
That's probably like the best chance. That's probably the best win, the best opportunity for a win out of the next four games, because the Broncos have the last like five, even before Drew Lock came in, the last five games look cool. Their defense finally is playing the Vic Fangio defense that I thought they were going to play the opening night that I was preaching and I was worried about. And they're playing phenomenal football, and Drew Lock looked good today. And the Chargers, you know, Phillip Rivers, I mean, that probably won't be, that'll be a toss up. Maybe that'll be a home game for them. And then, it's just tough, man. I personally don't see any more than one win for them. 7-9 feels it, which is a shocker to me. It's going to be the prediction I had them going before the season, like 6-10 or 7-9. I don't see any more. They'll win that final game against Jacksonville just because I feel like they have to. You know, you better win your last game in Oakland, especially since we're going to be there. That's going to be atrocious if they just like shit on us. And it's like, great, I don't want to stay here for like an hour and just enjoy the view. I'm just going to leave now because I'm pissed. But this game, I don't see the win there. I think it's going to be relatively close to another beatdown.
Yeah, I think even before this slide, I predicted the Titans to win this game. You know, I think I'm a little bit more optimistic than you are right now. I see two. I think they can beat LA. I think LA is kind of morally getting beaten down, and like you said, it'd be kind of a home game. And then the Jags look bad as well last game at the Collie. But yeah, I'm not very confident heading into Denver either. Mm-mm. But yeah, it's gonna be a tough sled ahead, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Let's get some picks, huh? Should we do some picks without thought there, Jose?
Yeah, maybe I'll actually pick the Raiders for this one if the line's even out.
We'll see. Yeah, I got them up. And just a reminder, we record this on Sunday after the game, so
yeah, the lines will always move.
A lot of line shifting. All right, we got a lot of games to go through, so let's get through these quick. Cue the music. All right, first game, we got Cowboys at Bears. Cowboys are favored by 3. Who you got?
Oh, give me Dallas. I do not trust Trubisky at all.
Yeah, I'm going to go Dallas there too. All right, and then we got the Ravens at the Bills. That could be an interesting matchup. The Bills are 6.5-point home dogs. I'm going to take the home dog in this one. I like the Bills a lot. I like what I saw on Thanksgiving. And I think the Ravens might be coming down from a little bit of a hangover over the win against the Niners. What do you think, Jose?
No, give me the -6 or 6.5, whatever you said, for the Ravens, just because I think they'll do good. They'll be fine with Lamar.
All right. And then we got Carolina at Atlanta, another toilet bowl. the Falcons are favored by 1.5 right now. Who you got?
Carolina. Just give me my boy Christian McCaffrey all day. Don't think twice, please.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to bet on that. If you bet on that, you have a problem. But yeah. I'm going to take Carolina. All right. And then we got the Cincinnati Bengals, the now winning Cincinnati Bengals. They're on this winning streak of one game. Against the Cleveland Browns at Cleveland. Cleveland is a 10.5-point favorite. Who you got?
Give me Cincy. Cincy.
I'll take Cincy too. Give me those 10.5 points, and I think the Browns start to slide. Broncos at the Texans. Texans are 7-point favorites. I'm going to take the Broncos in that. Like the Broncos defense, I think they I don't think they win, but I think they will keep that within 7. How about you?
That's tough. I think that's so too. The Broncos defense is good, and the offense looks a little bit resurgent with Drew Lock out there.
Nice. All right. I think we're agreeing too much on this. I don't like this. And then we've got the Lions going to Minnesota as 13.5-point dogs. Give me the Lions. Give me those points. I believe in David Blow. He won me money on Thanksgiving. I'm fired up. Who you got?
Who else did you win money on? Didn't you win another? I don't know. All I know is you're ballsy for that one. You deserve all the accolades and all the praise. But hell no. Give me Minnesota. Give me Minnesota.
Colts at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a 2-point favorite right now.
And that's funny because Colts have been sliding a little bit. It's kind of hard, but you know what? I think I am going to take Tampa Bay. I'll take those over Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. I'm going to take the Colts on that one. I think they're sliding, but I think they're still better than the Bucs. Granted, the Bucs are playing a lot better, and I think the Colts just have a little bit more to play for right now. All right, another toilet bowl. We got the Dolphins at the Jets. The Jets are 7.5-point favorites. I'm going to go with the Dolphins here. I like the points. Give me the points. Jets suck. Who you got?
Yes, give me the plus points for the Miami Dolphins. Dude, Devontae Parker is a monster. Shout out to him who saved me because I had no idea if I wanted to roll the dice and start Adam Thielen, who was questionable. 11 a.m. rolls along. Adam Thielen ruled out for tomorrow. I stick to my guns and roll out Devontae Parker. He gives me a bunch of points. Let's go.
Let's go. I like it. Yeah, Dolphins are playing inspired as of late. All right, and then we got the Niners visiting the Saints. The Saints are 3-point favorites right now. Who you got?
Oh, the 3-point favorites? I'll take San Francisco. I feel like they're going to be so happy that they don't have to worry about a quarterback running it for 16 times. And Drew Brees is a statue back there. They'll have the way with him, I feel like, a little bit by like a score.
Yeah, I think I'll take San Francisco in the points here. I think they can win that outright. They impressed me a lot today in a loss. You know, prove that they can handle any kind of offense. I like their defense way too much. San Francisco is one of the best teams in football right now. And then we got the Redskins at Green Bay. Redskins at Green Bay, and the line is 14.5 Green Bay. I'm going to go with Green Bay here just because I don't trust Washington. Green Bay is just a lot better.
I think I'm going to go with Washington just because of what they showed a little bit today, resurgently. Like, they'll probably keep it within, like, around 10. You know, keep it around 10. They'll lose for sure, but 14.5, I think that'll be solid. Because even if they lose by 14, I'm still good. So
there you go. Good point. All right. And then we got the Chargers at the Jaguars. The Chargers are favored by a point right now. Who you got?
Ooh, well, Minshew Mania is back. So I think I'm going to go with the Jaguars. I'm going to go with the Jaguars and Minshew.
See, I think I'm going to go with the Chargers here. As bad as the Chargers have been, they've at least been competitive, and Jacksonville just seems to be falling apart to me.
And they're also traveling, so that's all I put in the aspect here. I'm assuming that's probably a 10 a.m. game.
Yeah, it's true. All right, and then we got the Chiefs at the Pats. The Pats are 3.5-point favorites. Tough because I would like to see how the Pats do tonight, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs here. I think the Chiefs start to turn it around. And I'm just not sold on New England, which probably means they'll win the Super Bowl.
I'll take that 3.5 for the Chiefs too as well, just because the Patriots offense is just they're okay, but obviously they're slouchy, but their defense is elite. It's gonna be fun to watch Chiefs offense against Patriots defense.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a good game. It might be the game of the week.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, and then we got the Steelers at the Cardinals. Right now it's even. That's probably going to change tomorrow. I'm going with the Steelers there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with the Steelers.
Steelers, no explanation needed. And then now we got the Titans at the Raiders, and the Raiders are 3-point home dogs. I'm going with the Titans right now.
I'm going with the Titans. Yeah, easy. It's easy brainer.
Yeah, it's tough right now. I mean, it's hard to see a young team like this fight out of a 3-game stretch that they found themselves in
against a surging team who is tasting the playoffs has it right within their grasp.
All right, and then Sunday Night Football, we got the Seahawks at the Rams. The Seahawks are favored by 2.5. Who you got?
Oh, Seattle. Even though the Rams did look a little bit better, I know it was against the Arizona Cardinals, but that offense lit it up today, and they needed to.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going with Seattle. I think the Rams did look a lot better today, but you know, like we were saying about the Raiders, they kind of are who they are at this point, and I'm not going to let a blowout of the Cardinals sway me on that one. All right, and then we got the Giants at the Eagles to wrap things up on Monday night. The Eagles are 8.5-point favorites. I'm going to go with the Eagles, and I know they just lost to the Dolphins, but I think they come back a little bit pissed off, and the Giants, just watching them, is just abysmal.
I know, with Saquon Barkley and everything, man. I'm going to go tricky, because it is a divisional game. I'm going to go with the Giants. I'm going to take that. Give me the Giants.
Okay. Well, all right. I think that's about all for us this week. Hopefully next week we'll be singing a better tune, but...
Sheesh.
Jose, where can the people find you?
At J Sanchez SI. Get at me, people.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at mholder95. Follow the pod if you're not already at Sweetfly. And of course, give us those 5-star reviews wherever you listen. We much appreciate that. Other than that, until next week. Hey, loser.